Why does God plant us in churches? It's to afford us that opportunity to work for Him. That's why it's important we meet together as a church so that we receive the blessing. So when the word of God, the rhema, comes like this, the word has come. In the word is the blessing. The moment you receive the word, great grace is imparted for that which must be accomplished. So there is the informative dimension of the Bible and there's the revelatory dimension of the Bible. The revelation shows you what you must do to experience the hand of God. So when the word comes in the revelatory dimension, there is instruction.
Now, your word in season.
Amen. All right. It's a great blessing to always meet with you. Amen. All right, so tonight I just want to share on our glorious responsibility. Amen. Our glorious responsibility. Never forget this. Any divine deposit places on us a responsibility towards man. So anytime there is a divine deposit, whatever God would do in the life of man places on him a responsibility. God is not a bad investor. The moment he invests something in you, he expects some returns. Amen. For example, in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse number 9. 1 Peter 2, verse 9. May we be more fruitful this year. Amen. And when I talk about fruitfulness, please, I'm not talking about your business prospering. I know, as for that one, we are expecting it. And we work on it every day. I'm talking about we bearing fruit kingdom-wise. 1 Peter 2:9, he says, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people. You know, all of that is describing who he's made us. Then the next thing he says, that ye should show forth the praises of him who had called you out of darkness into his what? Marvelous light. So your new status is not an end in itself. He expects you to show forth the praises of him. So you see, what he makes you puts on you a divine responsibility. I hope you are getting the point. Hallelujah. Now, it's important we understand that there is a glorious responsibility on our shoulders as children of God. Last week, I was sharing with you some few thoughts. If you are not careful, the things of this world will so take all your attention that you will forget that responsibility. But don't forget, after you build a house, you have nice cars, you have a great career, you are successful, in quote, then what? I think we don't think deep about these things. You know, practically, if even you finish building your house, you may not even live in the house even for 30 years or even 40 years before you check out of this earth. What becomes of it? So you see, as much as we are going about all our duties and we are getting this and getting that, you see, human beings are getters. We are getting everything. Do you understand? We should not forget our glorious responsibility. Our glorious responsibility. There is a responsibility on us. For he's made an eternal deposit in us. And that divine deposit, that eternal deposit, places on us a responsibility. Hallelujah. Matthew chapter 5. Let's start reading from verse number 13. So from time to time, I'll bring these things to your mind. I said, give me another 50 years. I won't disturb you again. 50 years from now, I'll be gone. I won't disturb you again. Okay. But as long as I'm alive, I'll keep reminding you that there's a divine responsibility. Matthew chapter 5, from verse 13. Ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost his savor, that means the salt has a responsibility of flavoring the earth. He says, but if the salt loses, change the version. Look, I wish I could speak French. How do you say change in French? It will sound like some change or something. Change. Change. Change the version. Changer la version. Look, don't give us false information. Now look at this. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness. So the salt was given a certain quality by God because of its purpose. But if the salt should lose its saltiness. Look, we didn't finish reading one version. You change. We've not finished that one. You are giving us another one. What's this? He says, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything. You see, I learned that in the English language, the worst thing to be told someone is you are good for nothing. You are good for nothing. You are good for nothing. Hey, there's nothing we use you for that there will be any profit. You are good for nothing. He says, it is no longer good for anything except it be thrown out and trampled by men. Is it not a reason why probably as believers, most believers are not even respected by men because we have forgotten our responsibility? So we may be in the same workplace with them. The same deals they are doing, shabby deals, we are doing the same. We've lost our saltiness. So they look at us and like, are you not the ones who say that? Are you getting the point? The same vulgar language they use is the same thing we use. Probably you are even struggling over the same girl with the one that is not born again. You get the point. He looked at the unwholesome relationships going on in the world and they see Christians partaking. So it's almost like, who are these? We've lost our saltiness. The next verse. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Go. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Remember, he says we are the salt of the earth and we are the light of the world. Instead, they put it on its stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men. You see, he's made you light. Now he tells you, you have a responsibility of shining. Not that God will come and turn you on to shine. You see, most of us, that's what we are waiting for. He's made us, but we are still waiting for him to do something more. Are you getting the point? Yes. I've just been considering the gift of communication. That he said that he gave us the word of reconciliation. That means my communication is so important that whatever I say can either make somebody fall or come to Christ. It's a serious thing. From morning till now, you've been talking to people, eh? Yes. You've been talking. Let's just see how much of that talk was kingdom talk. So we can live a whole week, not even 5 minutes of kingdom talk. But we've been communicating. Huh? Look at someone and say, the service is for you. It's for you. It's for you, pa. It's for you. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. That means whatever we do with the divine deposits we've received, either will bring glory to God or will take men's mind away from God. May we accept our divine responsibility. May we be effective in carrying it out, and may the fruit show in the name of the Lord Jesus. Changer la vision. Charlie, this French. we have to investigate. Give it to us in a maybe message, okay? Message, please. From verse number 13. Let me tell you why you are here. I love this. Let me tell you why you are here. You are here to be salt seasoning that brings out the God flavors of this earth. Our glorious responsibility. If you lose your saltiness, how will people taste godliness? You've lost your youthfulness and will end up in the garbage. The next verse. Here's another way to put it. You are here to be light, bringing out the God colors in the world. God is not a secret to be kept. We are going public with this, as public as a city on a hill. I love this. Somebody was saying something. I'm talking about Judaism. And he's saying that the things that the Jews know, they don't propagate it. Okay? They don't propagate it in the sense that Jews don't do evangelism like we do. So the things that they have, which is to their benefit, they don't just publicize it. You must desire it, then you go and investigate. Then you are shown. All right? So they were talking to another person and they said, you are sharing it too much. We don't share those things. All right? That's Judaism. Then they said, can't you see there's only Christians who go around wanting everybody to know what they have? I said, that is our mission. He told us to go. He didn't tell us keep it. Look at this. He says, God is not a secret to be kept. We are supposed to go out there and let people know him. We are going public with this. As public as a city on a hill. Somebody say we have a responsibility. Remember this. It is your attention to this responsibility that would carve for you rewards in eternity. Whether we like it or not, eternity is coming. I know none of us really would like to face eternity. You know, nobody in time wants to face eternity, but time is just a subset of eternity. Hey, you don't want to mind me. I came to the service for you. So eternity is just looking at us. And I pray that this reality of eternity will so hit us that we will be concerned and will take our responsibility serious. You know, one guy who was a preacher had a vision and Jesus took him to hell. So he said when the Lord took him to hell, apparently he saw a friend, his roommate, in hell. She was like, what are you doing here? He said, I came here last Friday. Just last Friday. I came here last Friday. So you came here last Friday? What happened? So I had an accident and I died. And I was not saved. So I came here. This was a preacher. He came back out of the vision. Then his mom called him. Then he said, do you remember your roommate? He had an accident last Friday and died. So you see, he was somewhere. He had not heard the news physically, but he had a vision and saw the friend in hell. And the friend told him, I came here last Friday. And when he got out of the vision, the mom calls and the mom says, last Friday, your friend had an accident and is in hell. He said, that changed his message. He now started to let people know the reality of hell and heaven. This divine responsibility we've been given to pluck people out of hell. You see, many of us believers, just want the goodies that we will get in Christ, then we forget our divine responsibility of carrying him to the lost. Listen, there is nothing God is doing anymore. Whatever God will do, he is now going to do through us. And when let me even drop the us, through you. Because I think we have a mindset that God is going to judge us collectively. Shepherd Stream Church next. So then all of us will come out. Then we are coming and your pastor is in front. The Shepherd Stream is flow. There we are. Ugh. Sometimes collective thinking make us lose our individuality as far as God is concerned. Listen, God looks at you and the fruit you bear. That is why as a pastor, he says, the reason why he gives you either an apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, or teacher is to perfect the saints for the work of the ministry. Now, you must accept your ministry and be so involved for yourself. Oh, there are some who will do it for us. Ah, we know. Ah, man, Pastor Christian. Ah. Preach for us. If I don't bring you to the place where you will be concerned about your responsibility in Christ, facing Christ will be difficult for you. Now, it may not make a lot of sense, but it will make a sense that day. Respect your individuality in Christ and know that the responsibility he's giving to us is not so much of a collective responsibility. We may move as a team, but he respects what each one does and will reward you accordingly, not collectively. So there will not be a reward for Shepherd Stream Church. There will be a reward for those who did something in. Am I communicating?
Yes.
Yeah. We must respond to our divine responsibility. This is a glorious responsibility. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 17. This scripture, I want to read it and read it and read it until it is so much a part of you. Therefore, if any man, that puts you there, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. So you are a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Verse 18. And all things are of God, who had reconciled us. So we've been reconciled to God. God has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ. And what has he given to us? What has he given to us? The ministry of reconciliation. There's a responsibility. So, whoever is not reconciled to God, God is not the one going to reconcile them now. He has given that service to us. All right? Okay. The next verse. To wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and had committed unto us the what? The word of reconciliation. So please, when Jesus walked the earth, God was in him reconciling the world to himself. Now Jesus is gone. Now Christ is in us by his spirit reconciling the world to God. So that ministry of Jesus is no longer going to win the world, but through his body. All right? So we have that divine responsibility. So now God won't touch anyone unless we stretch our hands. So when you smile, God is smiling at someone. You are not minding me. Mm? How does God hear people now? He hears through our ears. You are that important as a child of God now, right? Yes. He's committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Verse 20. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. Then look at something. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead. We are standing in Christ's stead. Huh? Be reconciled to God. So this is Paul the Apostle. He was beckoning people to come. Please. Now when certain outreaches are announced, it's opportunity for you to get involved because this is our responsibility. Hmm? He says, be reconciled to God. Ambassadors. You are an ambassador for Christ. Say it. It's a divine responsibility you must accept. Obviously, when you go to a country, and that country has an ambassador of Ghana, every Ghanaian is an ambassador of a kind. Oh? Hey. Every Ghanaian. But there is the ambassador plenipotential. He's the one that has been appointed by the government to represent the nation there. Okay? Will you accept that you now represent Christ on the earth? You. I mean you. Mention your name. When you speak now, it's Christ speaking. You know, I've just been meditating on some things. Then I look at, okay, you definitely meet people who are Judas. So you may be angry at Judases. Okay. But then I realize that there are many who are not Judases. So you don't have to look at people's attitudes and cast them off. Because you have a responsibility of reconciling people to God. So you are supposed to be careful how you deal with people. Because many people will make you, they will make you annoyed. But you have a divine responsibility of reconciling them to God. I pray that this responsibility will be taken so serious by you. I'm talking to you as an individual. You are an ambassador. Say like you are here, I'm an ambassador for Christ. Say it again, I'm an ambassador for Christ. Amen. All right. Let's consider some few portions then. Now, remember that this glorious gospel of Christ has been committed to our trust. Remember, it's only the gospel of Jesus Christ that can save people. Save people from eternal damnation. Huh? But by the way, do you believe in hell and heaven? Do you believe? Do you believe in life and death? Yes. Do you believe in the stories of the Bible? Yes. The gospel. Jesus once told a parable of this rich man and Lazarus. And this rich man died and went down to hell. Huh? Then Lazarus also died. And angels came to carry him into Abraham's bosom. Then in hell, the rich man lifted up his eyes and saw Lazarus in Abraham's bosom and saw Father Abraham. What was his plea? The rich man turned into an evangelist right away. Father Abraham, I'm tormented in the flame. Send Lazarus to dip his finger and come and cool my tongue. The request, no. Is the answer. That means in hell, everything, every request is no. No. The next request. Please, send Lazarus to go to my brothers. Right away, the guy wanted to evangelize his brothers. Not to come to where he was. Hey! What do you think the answer was? No. Why? He says, your brothers, they have Moses and the prophets. There are still people there preaching. They can hear some. You see that their divine responsibility was not given to the dead to come back to preach. Neither was it given to angels to preach. That responsibility, Father Abraham still said, there are those who are there who are still speaking. Please listen to me. Listen to me. Maybe you have escaped eternal damnation. You have escaped hell. But it places on you a responsibility to make others escape hell. If I gave you a responsibility to clean here, and I gave you a responsibility to clean the foyer, then I came, the foyer was cleaned, but here was not clean. Then I come to you and said, why was this place not clean? Do you think I'll ask you why this place was not clean? Who will I ask? I will ask him. Then who will I punish? Do you think that the number of people whose blood we are responsible for, we will go scot-free? We are saved. The saved has we have a responsibility. We will be questioned. Our generation had the opportunity to hear from our lips the saving message. What did we do with it? People of God, I think when this thing dawns on us, we'll be serious about evangelism. Amen. I think none of us want to really be responsible for anybody. But whether you like it or not, once you are saved, it places on you a divine responsibility. And it's a glorious responsibility that has a reward. Am I communicating at all? All right, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 4. It is, but as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, the gospel has been put into our trust. Amen. Even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God, which tried our hearts. It says, we are allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel. The gospel that can save men. Wow. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 11 and 12. So the gospel of Christ is committed to our trust. Hey. Now we're going to have outreaches. When we say we are going to this community for outreach, look, get involved. You must practically learn how to win souls. You must become bolder about asking, do you know Jesus? He says, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. Paul the apostle was so conscious of the fact that this glorious gospel was committed to his trust. What has been committed to our trust? He says he has given unto us the word of reconciliation. According to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. Can we also say this? If it is committed to our trust, then we will be questioned. What did we use it for? What did we use it for? May we not be found wanting when we meet the Lord. Amen. 1 Corinthians. I said we're reading. Okay, verse 12. And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord who had enabled me for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. May we be counted faithful. That means whenever we come to the consciousness of this responsibility and take it and act on it, God sees you to be one that is faithful. That means you will do it. That is why he called you. 1 Corinthians. Chapter 9, verse 16 and 17. I will not lose my saltiness. 1 Corinthians 9 from verse 16. It says, for though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of. For necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. For if I do this thing willingly, I have what? A reward. I have a reward. But if against my will, a whole dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me. A whole dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me. You see, I really want you to see this picture. When you cross over from here to the other side, that which was committed to you is what you give account of. I tell you, whatever you are involved in now, let's take your work, your career, whatever. Beautiful. Continue, huh? It's good. Become the best. Huh? Okay? Let's say you're a contractor. You build roads. You think you are going to account for the roads you built? There. Or let's take another profession. You're a midwife. Okay? Let's take another profession. You service cars. You are a mechanic. That you are going to give account on what? The audits you fixed or the... No, come on. What was committed to our trust? A whole dispensation of the gospel. Raise your head. Look into the sky just for a minute. Then take a deep breath and bring it out. A whole dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me. If I do this thing willingly, I have a reward. But if against my will, a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me. I round up. Many have lived and served their generations and gone. We are in our generation. Never forget this. If we fail to do it, in this same generation, some are running and are very serious with it. Remember, rewards are waiting for those that took this glorious responsibility serious. Let's not be entangled by all the things that we do on this earth so that we don't pay attention to this glorious responsibility. Now, the church is there to provoke us. We meet together like this. Hebrews. Let's read a scripture from the book of Hebrews. Hebrews 10. Hebrews 10, 24 and 25. If there should be any desire, strong desire in your heart, is the desire to be able to win souls. If there's any desire that should be growing strong in your heart, is the desire to be an effective witness of Jesus Christ to others. It should become a burning desire. I know as for the other things, you are working on them, isn't it? Hebrews 10 from verse 24. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and toward good works. Verse 25. Then he says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. So he says, the day of the Lord is approaching. There's so much that would water down our fire in the world. But when we meet together, we provoke ourselves unto love and to good works. You see, we stir up ourselves so that we can attend to this glorious responsibility. Never forget this. The ministry of reconciliation is your responsibility. Not as in collectively, so some hide behind some. Say Adamoko, and here muni nyame ko e bom pa ta mochi. It is your personalize it. The same way we don't share salvation. Say, oh, you now have salvation. Okay, your salvation is his salvation. No, he must have his own personal salvation. That's the same way you must accept this ministry of reconciliation. Am I communicating? I finished. I have a lot to say, but you are not drawing, so I have to. I have a lot. It is your responsibility. Now, I'll keep reminding you. Because one day, you will be faced with these questions. What did you do with what I gave you? What I committed to your trust? And the fact of the matter is that you, your judgment will be more... I want a word to use for you. Because you heard it. Severe. You heard it. For me, I think about myself. I say, Lord, because I heard it. You cried that you could read. Yours is more severe because you could hear it and read it at the same time. If you could walk, yours is more severe because he said you should. You see, when he was mentioning the armor, he said, put on your feet the preparation of the gospel of peace. So that means the reason why you have feet was to be able to walk to people and tell them, and you had feet and you didn't go. You were not dumb. You could speak. So the word of reconciliation, you could still have, you there is no excuse. You went to school, no excuse. That means you could even reason in a certain way. Wow. You lived in the city. More trouble. Because you had access to some facilities that could help you. You had some extra money than those in the villages. There are some of us, myself included. Let me say this. That's why when I see people prospering, I want to give them more responsibilities. Because you see, this deceitfulness of riches can make you think you are okay. But in God's eyes, you are wretched. So when I see people really prospering in a certain way, I really want them to be involved. Because by the time you realize, you have thrown away everything spiritual concerning the kingdom. Revelation 3. Last but one scripture. Revelation chapter 3. From verse 14. For me, the day you start to really get serious with God, you get serious with the ministry of reconciliation. Yeah. Now look at this. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness and beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm, and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Look at why he says he was lukewarm. I want you to see. Because look at why God says he was lukewarm. Because thou sayest, I'm rich. Because thou sayest, I'm rich. And increased with what? And have need of what? And knowest not thou at what? Wretched, and miserable, and poor, and blind, and naked. Hey! But what you were saying of yourself was that I am rich. I'm increased in goods and have need of what? Nothing. I pray that prosperity will not take you away from your responsibility. Is somebody listening at all? So get involved, because whether you like it or not is our divine responsibility. And never forget, I said, as much as we may attend to things collectively, in that collective effort, see yourself as an individual and that which you do as an individual will be rewarded individually, not collectively. Am I communicating?
Yes.
When I go, I will be assessed and rewarded individually. You too. So now the moment we must do something that has to do with the ministry of reconciliation. As for the other things, I know you like them. I receive. Your car is coming now. I know that one. You love that part. All of us love it, isn't it? All of us, we love it. You build a house. Yes. But after building the house, you finish living in the house, and you check out from here. I know, nobody wants to think about that side. But that is why the church exists, to remind us of that side. Because as for here, a doctor told a story. He said when they went to the medical school, they were made to go to the lab, and they brought out dead bodies because they were going to study the parts of the... So when they brought the dead bodies, they would put them on their table, marble tables. And he said they were afraid to touch the dead bodies. He said their dead body had a name. Every dead body had a plaster with a name. The dead body they had was called Cornelius. Cornelius. He said the lecturer was a Christian. So the lecturer said, have you seen the end of man? So when you are walking on earth and all this pride and all of these things, chasing after things, you want this, you want that, and you get everything, look at the end of man. Who even knows what Cornelius had? He said he was lying there. All the corpses were there. He said about 10 tables with 10 corpses. They see things who they are supposed to now be studying them, the parts and all that. He said, the lecturer said, you see, this human being lying there, even when a goat dies, you can eat the meat. But this one, just trying to let them understand the end of man. People of God, my assignment is not to bring death to your mind, but just to let you understand on the other side, all these things we are laboring for. Only things that have eternal value is the work of the kingdom. You see, believe in the Bible. Believe in the Bible. The stories Jesus told, they were true. They were not lies. All the things Jesus spoke about concerning how that when he would return, many parables about the Lord going, returning, giving rewards to his servants. Look, don't play with those parables because they are all true. A day is coming, the master will appear. And the Bible says, behold, I come quickly, and I have my reward with me. Revelation 22. I have my reward what?
With me.
To give unto every man, not every people, every man, not every church, every man, not collective. I know definitely you will wish that we'll come as a team and be singing our anthem, but it doesn't happen that way. Hallelujah. This year, we are going to engage in a lot of outreaches. Please get involved. Please get involved. You are not helping the church. You are helping yourself. It's an eternal responsibility that no one can do for you. And thank God you have heard it. Thank God you've heard it. Act upon what you have heard. And in that day, we will not be found wanting. I pray in the name of Jesus that we'll be empowered by the word of God and by the Spirit so that we can act on the word in the name of the Lord Jesus. Somebody shout a living amen.
Amen.
Never forget this. The only way the world can have access to God now is through us. Let's not hold back. Let's not hold back. He saved us so that we can also go and get others saved. Let's accept this divine responsibility and we'll have our rewards. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you for listening to today's message. If you want to give your heart to Christ, just say this short confession after me. Say, Lord Jesus, I believe in you. I believe you died, and on the third day, you were raised back to life, and you are alive. I confess with my mouth that Jesus, you are Lord. You are the Lord of my life. Even from this day forth, precious Spirit of God, help me to live for the Lord all the days of my life. God bless you. If you said that confession, you are a child of God. Make sure you are planted in a church that will raise you in the Word of God so that you become a tree of righteousness that will bear fruit to the glory of God. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to The Shepherd's Voice with my Pastor Christian. We believe you have been refreshed by the Shepherd's Stream for a glorious living in Christ Jesus. You can get the messages of the man of God, Pastor Christian, on Facebook, Telegram, YouTube, podcast, or Podcast Addict, all at My Pastor Christian or Shepherd Stream Church. You may also call our helpline for the messages and the books of Pastor Christian and for pure pastoral counsel and any other inquiry on 0540-953-017. We also have the pleasure to invite you to join us in our glorious celebration services this and every Sunday at the Fresh Oil Assembly, Kumasi City Church, KCC, Edum, right opposite the GRA building behind the Ajaba building. My Pastor Christian also comes your way with Shepherd's Stream prayer session this and every Friday at 6:30 p.m. at the church premise at Edum. You can also join in the prayer session via Facebook Live at My Pastor Christian. Come, pray, and experience the glory of God. God bless you. Shalom, shalom.